You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Encouraging One Another Ministries. And now, here is your host, Tom Jones.
The Lord reigns, let the people shout. He reigns in righteousness. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice. The Lord reigns, let the people clap their hands. Angels shout, the redeemed have come to dance. To celebrate, to celebrate. He reigns. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. We will sing and shout.
Yes, good morning, Saints of God. This is Tom, and it is time to wake up, me included. I think I need to wake up this morning. I'm here live, and again, Danny, thank you for all that you do here at 91.5, and appreciate everything you do for all the pastors, myself, just can't thank you enough. I think there's something in being appreciative to people who do things for you. I think we need to express our gratitude for people that help us. no matter what it is. You know, we just need to have a grateful heart. I don't see a lot of that going on in America anymore. I just don't see it. So, Lord, help us with that. Help us to have a grateful heart, you know, that we appreciate anything that anyone does. Especially, you know, I went back to the doctor yesterday and had a, I don't know how many x-rays, 8 or 9 on my back, and I was kind of asking the Lord to help me because I sure was nervous. It's almost been 2 months since my surgery, so they wanted to double-check my back, and I don't want to go on about it, but I was quite nervous because I did a few things with my back I shouldn't have because I didn't have help, and I thought maybe that damaged my back. But the x-rays turned out great. The surgeon was very happy, and I expressed my gratitude to the surgeon, gave him a card. My wife gave him a gift certificate, and we should be grateful. And he spent extra time with me. He didn't have to. Once he opened up my back a couple months ago, he noticed there's some more things that he needed to do, and he just took the initiative to do it. So, you know, let's all of us get in the habit, if we serve one another like Christ said, you know, I came not to be served, but to serve. And that should be our attitude that we should have, that you know, as Christ's attitude. He said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And let's have a servant's heart, you know, and serve one another. If you see someone in need, you know, make sure, if it's in your ability, make sure that you don't close your eyes, that you take the initiative to help that person. Well, this morning, before I move on, I want to play a couple songs. I like to worship the Lord, and this one song will get you going. I can guarantee it. Enjoy it. It's called Praise.
Let's clap. One, two, three.
Boy, I really like that song. You know, being a missionary in the mission field, I go to different, I went to different places around the world, and I tell you, the one place that they really worship the Lord, and I'm telling you, even my orphan kid said, you need the fire. I said, I do have the fire. They said, no, you don't. It's Haiti. And those kids, and the, when they had church, I'm telling you, Danny, they had church. And they really loved the Lord. And here I was in a country that had no running water. They didn't have a gas station. They didn't have a Publix. They absolutely had nothing. There was one little general store, and that's all they had. And they were truly, truly grateful. And I was around a lot of people who lost legs and arms in the earthquake where all the concrete fell on them. A lot of widows there. And I was amazed. They had to actually dig a pit, Danny, for all the legs and arms to be thrown in it. There's 62,000, I believe. You can look it up. Over 62,000 legs and arms they had to amputate. And those people, when I met them, mostly the widows left with children, they were happy, singing, dancing as best they could, praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Several of them were missing two arms, not too many people, but some had one arm or some had one leg. But it was quite unusual to see one person with two arms missing. It was just to see them worshiping the Lord. It was a wake-up call in my life. You know, I'm in a country that has nothing. They don't even have electricity. I mean, if electricity is on, it's probably on for an hour, and then it flickers back off. Very poor country. The orphan home there is still there, despite the problems in Haiti, the gangs running Haiti. My friends are still over there. The orphan home is close to 30,000 square feet. The girls live upstairs. The boys live downstairs. And I enjoyed every moment that I was there serving, helping in construction, ministering, loving on the kids. And if you know me, you know I just love kids. I just love little people. And to hear their hearts and watch them worship the Lord. One little boy was called Peanut, and he was a little preemie, and I was holding him. And when they said pray, his little head went down. I was rubbing his little head. He's so cute, the little fella. And there was another guy, Moses. He wanted to become and wants to become the future president of Haiti someday. And I said, Moses, don't ever give that up. Do everything you can to become the next future president of Haiti someday. There's another girl there, Christila. She was years ago brought in a shoebox, Danny. Shoebox. They went to the front door, and they thought it was a pair of shoes for one of the orphan kids, and it was a little baby inside that shoebox. Christila was a preemie. And today, years later, I'm not kidding you, she goes around, tucks all the kids in bed at night, all the girls, and then she works her way downstairs and prays with the little boys and tucks them in bed. And it's just a sight to behold. I mean, the mission field, I tell you what, you know, we complain a lot in this country. We're the richest country on earth. We have everything, and we should be grateful. And I pray that you're grateful. You know, you're not always in want, because the word says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And, you know, I pray that your desire is to fall deeper in love with Jesus like never before, and me included. You know, me included, that I get my eyes, you know, sometimes my stinking thinking gets me in trouble. And I hate to share that with you, but if my mind wanders, you know, I get in trouble. And I ask the Lord to help me, guide me back. You know, I read earlier this morning that laughter is like merry medicine to the soul. You laugh, Danny, you laugh and laugh. That's really good medicine for us. But we're all yelling. And I mean, I saw on the news that, you know, they were smashing into a tire. I don't know what it's called. There's so many companies, I don't know what it's called. It's a parts store. We get parts for autos. In Los Angeles, they busted in and took a lot of stuff out of that store. Then I saw another general store in L.A. They busted into that and ransacked it, and the owner now has to pay $30,000 out of pocket to rebuild a store. You know, why in the world are we losing our minds? And then they set up bathrooms in L.A., and I'm not being political here, by no means. But there's bathrooms that they have now for the homeless, and you can't even go into them. They're so filthy. And if we are the richest nation in the world, you know, Lord, wake us up. Wake every one of us up that we can, you know, there was a girl that was picking up needles so kids didn't stumble upon them and get infected. Now she's in trouble because she doesn't have a license to pick up needles, and the state's on her. Well, no one else is picking them up. And I'm thinking, you know, Lord, can you just help us, stir us up, wake us up as a nation, you know? And again, I'm not trying to be political here, but it's a mess, you know? And I just ask for a revival in America. Lord, just help wake each and every one of us up from our, I believe we have blinders on. I think, I have a horse has blinders on. I think we, as a nation, we're more and more becoming blinded to those around us. You know, I walked in my neighborhood after I got out of the hospital, and one neighbor next door, I said, "Oh, good morning." And she just stared at me. This is my neighbor next door. She just stared at me and didn't say a thing. I said, "Oh, good morning." And I, at that time, I had to be on a walker to walk. And I just didn't understand why she didn't say anything back. She was just like, "Oh, okay, well, whatever." You know, I have, and I'm not picking on my neighbors. I love my neighbors, you know, but Lord, wake us up as a nation that we have a heart, you know, that we don't keep looking at things and then we turn around and go live as we wish. We're becoming more and more as a nation, as a people, heartless. We don't care for anyone. We you know, it's just more for me, you know, more for me. God give me. Are you seeking the kingdom? You know, if you know a king, as I shared this before, you know, the king is a rich man. Jesus is rich. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But are you after Jesus for what he can give you? Are you after him? Just know him intimately as your Lord and Savior. Are we seeking the kingdom and the stuff? Or are we seeking the king? You know, we need to be seeking the king. And we need to become more like him. I believe John said we must decrease that Jesus can increase in our life. Is he increasing in your life? Who's in control of your life? Is it Jesus? And Lord, help me. Lord, help me to stay focused, stay on track, you know, because I'm not perfect. I'm not a theologian. Some of you out there are probably better in the Bible than I am. You know, when I went to the mission field, I went with just my heart, not my head, but with my heart. I knew I had to go help Dr. Patrick out. And the founder of the missions passed away, so he wanted me to be his assistant. And I didn't know what I was doing. Back then, I was into titles. What's my title going to be? I need a title now, Dr. Patrick. He said, "No, you don't." "Yeah, yes, I do. If I'm going to be in the mission field, I need a title." He said, "Well, get rid of that. You know, that's stinking thinking. Just be a servant." And you know, and he was so right. You know, we don't need a title. And we just need to learn to be a servant, you know, and serve one another and love one another and not be just a hearer of the word. As the Bible tells us, don't be just a hearer of the word, but what? Be a doer of the word, you know, and not pick on people. You know, we're critical at this one. We're mad at this one. You know, everyone's mad now in the nation. Everyone. You're a Democrat. Oh, you're a Republican. Oh, I don't like that. And you're this. And you're this. And I don't like. You know, why can't we just get along? Love one another, as the Bible tells us to love one another. You know, and why are we just fighting? And why are we in such anger now? And Lord, help us with this. Lord, help us with our stinking thinking and our attitude. Let us fall deeper in love with you. And my prayer is that the nation will wake up and know who's in control. And that's not our president. That's not Congress and the Senate. That's Jesus is in control. We have a king, and that's Jesus. My desire for each and every one of you that will listen, that you'll fall deeper in love with Jesus and come to know him as your Lord and Savior. Favorite scripture is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but all have everlasting life." I'm going to open the phone lines up for a few minutes. There was a pastor I was going to call in. The number here is 632-1000. What's ever on your heart? I want to hear from y'all what God's put on your heart. Danny, do you have anything to share that God's put on your heart? I want to hear what God's put on people's hearts. What's God telling you to do? What's he ministering to you about? What's the Holy Spirit telling you to do? You know? And if you, one thing, My message this morning was going to be found in Proverbs 18:16. The King James said, "A man's gift maketh a room for him and bringeth him before great men." Okay, so what is it that Jesus has put into your life, and are you doing it? Are you doing what he tells you to do? Not everyone's called to be in ministry. I understand that. But what are you doing with your gift? You know, you could be called to be a nurse, a governor. You could be called to be a lawyer. You whatever it is that God's put on your heart, you know, quit dreaming it and go do it. You know, just don't be a hearer of the word. Whatever God tells you and puts in your spirit, just do it, you know. And that's why I'm on. For so many years, I've let people direct, you know, my destiny. You know, this one said, "Oh, you can't do it, Tom. You're too stupid." You know, excuse me, but that's what people just said. You know, you're not educated. Okay, you know, you can't go to the mission field. You know, you didn't go to seminary school. Okay, you know, and Tom, you're not smart enough. Okay, you know. So I let people direct my destiny. And Danny, that's true. I did. That's Because if you listen to people, and it's not that, you know, you don't want, we want to be teachable. We want to have a teachable spirit. You know, that's one thing I strive for, to have a teachable spirit. So if you minister to me, I'm going to listen. But if it isn't from the Lord, you know, I'm going to, excuse my language, but, you know, my grammar, but I'm going to spit and go on. If it isn't from God, I'm going to spit and go on. And that's not appropriate probably to share this, but I'm, if it's from God, I want God to say, is this from God? Is this what I need to look at? And when you go to a brother or sister, you need to go to him in love. If you're going to minister to him and correct him, remember, you do have a right to judge. Judge, least ye be judged. So take out a log out of your eye before you go to another brother and be critical to, and you shouldn't be critical. You should go in God's love, grace, and mercy to that brother and minister to him. And I pray that he would also have a teachable spirit. But I tell you what, if God is birthing something in your life, and you have a dream and you have a vision, you know, and you do have a gift, every human God gives a gift to, you know, it's just whether we want to stand up and use that gift, you know. A lot of people say, well, you know, I heard one brother one time in Hawaii say, well, I was raised in Harlem and my destiny is poverty. I said, no, it isn't. He said, well, I wasn't given a chance. I said, well, I wasn't either. You know, my mom passed away and we were in poverty already. And I asked my dad, what are we going to do the next day after my mom passed away? He said, I don't know what you're doing. I'm leaving. I know what poverty is. I know what poverty. We didn't have heat in the winter. We didn't have hardly any food. I had to scrape up for enough Campbell's soup and make my sister one Campbell's soup, put 7 to 8 cups of water in it to make it last. I know what poverty is, but I just chose to stand up and do something. I knew that God had something special. The road was tough, and it is tough. This journey that when you become a Christian, it's not all a bed of roses. I thought it was going to be. Boy, it's not, you know, but Jesus is there with us. And he cares for us, and he has his arms wrapped around us. And are you struggling with something? You know, is Jesus calling you to do something and you haven't done it? Are you procrastinating and you're giving and you're serving the Lord? Whatever it is, you know, today is a day of salvation, the Bible says. You know, we need to fall deeper in love with him. I know I need to fall deeper in love with him, and I fall short. So call in the number here. I'm giving you a few minutes to call in. The number here is 632-1000. Because I want to hear from people. I want to hear what the Lord's doing out there. You know, I know what he's doing in my life and tearing me apart, you know, that Jesus can increase, not my flesh. So whatever it is in your life, don't be shy. Come on, you don't have to mention your name. Just call in and share. You know, don't be quiet. When I was telling Danny this morning here at the station, when I was on 91.5 in Daytona, that's where I started the radio because they didn't have anything here in Cocoa for me to be on. But they had I had to drive 100 miles, Danny, every Saturday. I can't remember when I was on 11 to 12. And that's where I started my radio program. And I enjoyed every minute of it. And when I opened the phone lines up there, I mean, it was jammed. It was literally jammed. Nothing. I don't take credit for it, but there was a hunger up there. And I believe that radio station went into Georgia, northern Florida, Georgia, and another state. I can't remember. But those people, they were just, they're hungry. And they needed a word of encouragement. And Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 3:13, that we are to encourage one another daily. And why today is still called today? You know, we're not to pick on them, be critical. Well, I don't like that person, and I don't like this one, and I don't like their personality. Let's get rid of that. Just love on them. You know, just love on them with Jesus' love. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to love on people that won't love you back. Sometimes I just say, you know, certain people, I just have to love them from a distance and keep them in prayer and love them from a distance. And if they don't receive you, well, the Lord says, just shake your feet and move on. Shake the dust and depart. So call in. Come on. I want to hear from one or two of you before I go into my message this morning. And because it is, it's all about Jesus. It's not anything that we'll ever do. You know, I told the surgeon again the other day when I met with him, I said, I want to thank you for using the gift and talent in your life to help me so that, you know, I just want to thank you for using the gift that God gave you. Because I could have ended up in a wheelchair, Danny. I could have been in a wheelchair. That's they told me if I didn't have surgery within less than a year, he said, you're going to be in a wheelchair. And nothing against being in a wheelchair. But I said, Lord, you know, I like walking. I like cutting my grass. I like ministering to people. And I just said, please, if you could spare me from that. I do have one friend in a wheelchair. And lovely lady, absolutely lovely. But please, Lord, spare me of that. And so I thanked him for his talent that God gave him that he was using. And what is it in your life that you need to be doing that you're not doing. And if you're doing it, keep on keeping on, you know, keep on keeping on. And because, you know, we're all gifted. Danny, I don't think it's just a few people. I think we're all gifted to do something for Jesus. I think every one of us are gifted. Just like the gentleman told me from Harlem in Hawaii, he went in the military, by the way. I said, but you know, poverty, you know, we have to do something about it. You know, I look back now at my past and the people told me that I can't make it. My own father said, you'll just be a deadbeat all your life. And my friends around me said, well, you don't want to go and serve Jesus. That's a waste. And you don't want to go. You'll be poor the rest of your life into the mission field. What I'm trying to say is, if Jesus is telling you to do something, don't go around and advertise it. You know, don't go on like I did, because there's bottom line is there's a lot of dream killers. I don't know about you, but I've had my share of them. Ah, you can't do this. You're not smart enough. No, I agree. You know, my grammar needs correcting at times. I understand that. I read the word. I have to read it sometimes two times to understand it, to memorize it. You know, but I had a willing heart. That's what the disciples said. They had a willing heart. So be careful when the Lord gives you a vision to do something that you don't go around like me and advertise it to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Because I tell you what, you know, I don't know if it's appropriate to share that on the Christian radio, but they're going to kill your dream and you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. And you begin to believe it. You begin to believe God, Jesus can't use you. Some of you need to pick up that phone and call in, because some of you, you know, you got a call on your life to do something and you're not doing a doggone thing. You know, come on now, call in 632-1000. Jesus wants to fire you up like he wants to fire all of us up. And I mean that in a good way, you know. Quit complaining, you know. Well, I don't have the means. No, you won't have the means. I didn't have the means to go to Hawaii either to end my military career. My sister went through a divorce and went down to Texas to help her and ended up with being, my bank account was zero. And then I'm supposed to go to Hawaii and take my car across country. Then all of a sudden I went to church and the pastor said, well, there's a man here being very disobedient. That was my pastor. And he said, let's take up a collection. The amount was unbelievable what they took up. And then my other pastor gave me 7 post-dated checks, one for every month that I was there. And he said, after the 7th month, more checks will come. What God has ordered in your life, I'm here to tell you that Jesus will pay for it. Good morning. This is Tom.
Tom, this is Tom also from
Cocoa. Good.
Yeah. Glad to hear you're doing well.
Yeah, Tom, I was going to mention your name, and I'm sorry. Sometimes I get on the radio and my mind is...
it's okay.
Good
Just
morning.
Tell me, hey, you, I'll answer to that.
Good morning, Tom.
Anyway, I'm glad the x-rays proved okay. And, yes, my ministry here, as I had mentioned to you before, at 88 years old and legally blind, people know, because I've been here 31 years, they come and ask for prayer. Mm. And we had a man across the street from Iowa. He said, I don't want you talking about the Lord or talking about politics in my driveway. We used to sit out in the driveway and talk. So I didn't, but when he came over here, we talked about everything, the Lord and the politics. So one day there was a knock at the door, and it was him. And he says, will you let him in, Patty and I? And he said, I know I'm not a man of prayer, but he says, I know you are. My grandson's sick unto death up in Iowa. I need prayer for him. So Patty and I got up with our walkers and walked over to him because he was too nervous to sit down. We grabbed his hand and we prayed. And that little boy got out of intensive care, and I got to meet him for the second time right here on his legs. Yes, sir. So God is good all the time. God is good.
Oh, boy.
I love you so much, Tom. And we're encouraged by what you're doing there. And we just want you to know I'd love to meet you sometime. So keep in touch. You got my phone number.
I do.
And maybe I don't drive, so maybe you can pick me up when you're able and take me to your church. I'd love
Oh,
that.
Yeah, that sounds good. I never thought of that. And I'm sorry, Tom.
Okay. I'm on your way, as a matter of fact. I'm right up here at 201, exit 201.
Yeah, I'd love to do that, Tom. And the last couple of months have been a little challenging, I must admit. Now, not using it as an excuse. I'm just, you know, learning to get back to work and get more involved in ministry things. And
sure.
But
I can tell that you're just getting back to yourself on the radio. So hey, God loves you, so do we, and that goes a long way. So you take what time you have to get better and do the things that you want to do. God understands.
Yeah, thank you.
He loves you the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know that.
Tom, can I ask you a question? And thank you.
Yeah.
What is God showing you in your life? Tell me, for the people here in America or the community, what is God putting on your heart?
Yes. I have... I'm married the second time. My first wife died here, as you know, in 2000, and I married a girl from my high school, and she has five children, and I know one of them does not know the Lord, maybe two, and he's out in New Mexico, and I have a feeling it's coming close to his time, and he laughs about the Bible being a storybook. You know, and he won't listen to us. He doesn't talk to his mother anymore. It's really a sad situation. I want to send him a letter. And, you know, the family, I don't want them to even interfere because God is directing that. That's what's on my mind and heart. He is directing me to write the letter about salvation to him. And, you know, my wife feels that he'll take revenge on her. But God is, hey, we can pray ahead and stop that. So I appreciate your prayers. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, good. And Tom, you know more than I do. You know the Bible better than I do. Whatever God puts on your heart, Tom, just do it. Just do it. Because I was in Oklahoma one time at Assembly of God Church, and the Lord showed me this one guy that was hurting, and I didn't want to go up to him, Tom. I said, Lord, that man doesn't know me, and I don't know him. And the Lord said, he doesn't need to know you. He knows me.
Amen.
But Tom, I didn't go to him. I didn't. And then 2 weeks later, I was getting ready to leave, and this was my last Sunday at the Assembly of God, and I saw the gentleman again. And I went up to him, and I apologized. He said, why are you apologizing? I said, well, I wanted to encourage you 2 weeks ago, but I was afraid. And he said, well, what did you want to encourage me about? And I shared it with him because the Lord brought it back to my remembrance, and I remembered him. He was crying. He said, why didn't you give me that word 2 weeks ago? Why are you giving me that now? See, that 2 weeks ago was that anointing that I was to move, and I didn't. And 2 weeks later was too late, although I gave it to him, and he was in tears saying, I needed that 2 weeks ago. And God's timing, as you said, is God's never late. He's always on time. And when he puts something in our spirit, our heart, we're to do it, as you know, Tom. And so I encourage you, Tom, when the Lord tells you to do something, it's really spot on.
And, you know, my flesh tells me, you better not do that because his sisters and his brother and all the relations that are not here, they will make it rough for you and even their mother. I mean, it's a sad situation, but I'm going to do it because God said so.
Well,
you convinced me.
Yeah, yes, you just have to do it. And I think fear sometimes, and that's what happened to me, Tom. Going into the mission field, all these people were telling me, you're foolish, you don't have an income, you gave the military up, you're going to work with a doctor, you're not going to make it. And you begin to believe that. And I just had to shut out the dream killer fear, because, you know, what fear does with us, Tom, and I noticed in my life all the time lately, I've been battling a little bit of fear, and I asked the Lord, would you help me? Because what fear does is it stops me from doing what Jesus tells me to do. And fear just paralyzes us, Tom. Bottom line is it has in my life, and it stopped me. And I've asked the Lord to break this fear. And I believe if we look at the Word of God, I believe fear is mentioned in the Bible 365 times. So fear not, fear not, fear not. And I have to remind myself, don't worry about what this other one's going to think. Just do it.
Amen.
Just do it. And that's my word of encouragement for you, Tom. Don't worry about what anyone else will think. Just what the Lord put that in your spirit. We just have to do it, Tom. We just have to do it.
Thank you for that. That's encouraging. Keep the good work up, and God bless you. And we still have you in our prayers for your healing.
Yeah, thank you,
and
Tom.
For your ministry, and we love you so much.
Yeah, love you, Tom.
You're doing such a great job for this community. Believe me.
Well, thank you, Tom, for that. And I'll keep you in prayer as you begin to put that letter together. And that letter, let me tell you something, Tom, and I share this from my heart. That letter won't be written from, I had a friend that got a letter one time. She was mentoring my wife and I for ministry. I miss her. She passed away years ago. And I noticed we were up close to Daytona. She had mentoring classes once a month. And I noticed she was crying in the car. And I tapped the glass and I said, Kathy, I said, something's wrong. She said, yes, something's wrong. I got a letter from this lady in Orlando, and it's horrible. And I said, well, that letter wasn't written from the heavens. That letter was written in the flesh. Your letter will be different. Your letter will be written from the heart of God.
Amen.
To him. And she was crying. I said, just forget it. Throw that letter away, because that wasn't written from the heavens. That was written from the flesh. Your letter will be dynamic. It'll be anointed. And you and your wife, pray for that letter as you send it off, that it touches and pierces his heart.
Thank you for that. That's so important to know. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Tom. And God bless you. And thank you for your support and your prayers as well, Tom. And I'm sorry I've had a couple bumpy months.
We all got bumps in the road, so you got the bump master, God himself. He got you through it. He's going to continue.
Yeah, thank you again, Tom. My love to your precious wife, too.
Thank you so much. You appreciate that.
Yeah, God bless you, Tom.
Okay. I'm still listening to this program, so I'm enjoying it.
Hey, have I put you to sleep, Tom?
No.
Well, I was just curious.
Oh, yeah. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, Tom.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that was Tom. And I was just thinking about you, Tom. And God bless you and your wife as you begin to write that letter. Do what the Lord puts on your heart. Thank you for ministering to others. And that's what we all should be doing. We should all be like Tom. You know, because there are divine appointments that are going to come our way. There absolutely are going to be divine appointments. And I don't want to miss those divine appointments that Jesus brings my way. I'll take one more caller, 632-1000, and to share your heart. I don't want to miss it. I had an opportunity where I met a gentleman that was in the Korean War. And I thanked him. He was sitting at a steakhouse, and I went in there for lunch, and my business partner loved steak. I'm not so much too much, but it is a good steak place. Can't think of the name of it, but but I saw him with his hat, Korean War veteran, and I said, oh, you were in Korea. I've been in Korea 2 times in the 80s, not the war. And I said, thank you for your service, sir. And then I said, where were you stationed before the Korea? He said, Schofield Barracks. I said, oh, that's where I was stationed, Schofield Barracks. So he and I had a lot in common. He said, can you sit down with me? I'm lonely. I sat down. I didn't sit with him. I said, well, my business partner is here. I said, why don't you just join us? And he said, you really? I said, yes. And he was 94 years old. And so he sat with us, and he just wanted a little hamburger. I think soaking wet. He weighed 70 pounds, bless his heart. He was telling us some stories in the Korea. And I could tell some of the little villages he went to. I was there as well. And so he and I had a lot in common, told me about the war. But he was in need of something. And, you know, and he said, well, the VA said it's going to take a year. And I said, what, a year? And I looked at my business partner, and I said, no, we kind of put our heads together, and we just said, well, what is it that you need? And he told me. And so he goes Monday to the doctor, and we're making what he needs a reality. Look, you know, I'm not trying to be in ministry. One person said, oh, you're in ministry to become wealthy. No, that's not my goal. That's not my desire. I haven't even thought of that and wouldn't think of that. And if I did think of that, I'd bury it. Because that's not why I'm in ministry, to make money. I'm in ministry because, as I gave the doctor a card, and any one of you know that you've supported me, Tom included, you get a card back from me, a thank you card. And the ministry is for the people. It's not for Tom. We're here to be of service to the people. And I think all of us should be that way, that when you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, call in. The number here is 632-1000. I'd like to encourage you, if you want to share what the Lord's doing, I'll give you an opportunity to share that, because we're living in a day, it's really difficult. These are difficult days. And if you're not going to church, I tell you what, Lord help you. You know, well, someone hurt me. Well, you know, we've all been hurt in churches. You know, listen, my pastor said, if one person hurts you, he said, there'll be plenty to love on you. Danny, that's true for your church. You have a great pastor, Pastor Paul. And you know, I don't know about any of you, but going to church, you know, look, working in the world 5 days a week, 6 days a week, it is absolutely refreshing to go to church. You know, Pastor Malcolm's our pastor. I've missed some Sundays. We listen to him on the phone. But I tell you what, it's a breath of fresh air to go to hear the pastor helping you understand the word better. And Pastor Paul's a good preacher, you know, and it's refreshing. and the praise and worship. You know, I know we all got different songs we like. You know, I'm a little bit more on fire for Jesus, and some people might not like my style, but because I've been in the mission field, and I've heard music in Korea and Japan and Haiti, and it's just everyone's style of worship, but it's just spending time with Jesus, putting on a praise song, put on your favorite song. Danny put on a country song, talking to my mom today, and it was a great country song about missing his mom, and he wishes he could have a direct call from heaven. The Lord, give me an opportunity to once more talk to my mom. I thought it was a great song. Danny will play it pretty soon. I liked it. You know, and we all miss loved ones that have left us. We all. Because the Lord gave us these people, you know, our parents, our mom and dad, and they're special and they're precious. And you know, they left an impact in your life. And you'll never forget them. You'll never forget your parents. And I hear some people say, well, I come from a very dysfunctional family. You do? We all do. We all do. You know, you might argue and say, well, I came from a dysfunctional family. I came from my mom loved the Lord. My dad was a flaming alcoholic, and he was a gambler big time. You know, did I come from a dysfunctional family? You better believe I did. But when I have to understand that Danny, this is really good. When I understand that it took my dad's DNA, no matter how messed up he was and how much, he would crash. I don't know how many cars but it took his DNA and my mom's DNA to make me. So you can fight all you want and tell me you're come from a dysfunctional family. But if you have to you need to understand one thing. Jesus needed their DNA and your mom's DNA, your dad's DNA to make you and create you. So you can complain all you want. You know, you're unique, you're special because it took their DNA to make you. Danny, it took your mom's DNA to make you. So those people, the precious parents that God gave you, you should never forget them because they're the ones that Jesus gave you. And I do miss my mom. Danny, I wish I could have a direct line to heaven to talk to my mom. You know, talk to the Lord and talk to her as well. And my dad, not so sure. Love him. You know, you got to honor your parents now. If you don't, you're in trouble. The scriptures tell us, honor your father and mother, that you shall live a long life. I don't know about my father, so I'm questionable on that one. I still loved him. I gave his funeral service and didn't say anything negative. And I put a little comfort cross from Israel in the palm of my father's hands. I think that was the most difficult for me to do. Thing to do is to touch my father and tell him I still loved him. And you missed out. I said, Dad, you missed out. You missed out knowing Tom. You missed out knowing the Lord. And he did come to the Lord. But he still wanted alcohol and gambling. And I don't mean to laugh about it, but I prayed for my dad for a long, long time that he would let go of, you know, alcohol and gambling. And he never worked. My stepmom complained about it. He only got $120 from Social Security. And she said, something's wrong. I said, no, it didn't. No, it didn't. He never worked. Why should he get any Social Security? I'm surprised he even got that much, you know. So, you know, we love him. We love the parents God gives us, some a little difficult, it took my mom's, she was a full Italian, my dad was alcoholic, so I'm half Italian and half alcoholic, but I don't drink, so I don't think that's spiritual to say that, but anyway, you know, he gave us who we needed, and that's we need to be content. You know, I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, I've come from a dysfunctional family. Let Jesus use you despite all that. You know, let Jesus wrap his arms around you and continue to love you on the way or where he's taken you. And that's, you know, I'm just sharing the times I went through, you know, but Jesus changed it. Your past, a lot of us look back and, you know, we dwell on this and we say we came from a dysfunctional family. Well, we all did. And then we look at this and we look at what happened. You know, yes, but let the past go. Jesus will never direct your past. He will direct your destiny. So let go of the past and let him take over and control your future, if you let him. You know, because you can look back and you can look back, and the scriptures tell us, he that looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. He's not fit for the kingdom of heaven. If you just keep looking back, you keep looking back, and you keep looking back. And so it's so important, and I'm going to play a song, take a minute to play a song, and it's everything we do. It's all about Jesus. I hope you enjoy it. I'll be back. I want to watch the time here, and it's a precious song, and I really, really love it, and let it minister to you as I end my program this morning. It's all about Jesus. Give him all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Serve him. Come to know him. Open your heart up. Lord, I'm a sinner. I repent. I want to come to know you as my Lord and Savior. It's all about him. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Play that again, if you don't mind. Let's just worship Jesus this morning, because that's what it's all about. It's knowing him, loving him, and serving him. If you don't know him, today is the day of salvation. Call upon him. I love that song. I used to listen to Maranatha. That's from the Maranatha Singers in Hawaii. It's in the mission field. That's all the music. We listen to Maranatha a lot, and it's still anointed as it was back then years ago, and it's the music still anointed, and it's about Jesus. So if you don't know him, call upon him as your Lord and Savior. John 3:16 again says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but all have everlasting life." And if you do know him and you've walked away, you know, Jesus doesn't leave us, you know. We can leave him. And if you've been discouraged about an issue, you know, if you've been disappointed, your husband left you, your wife left you, you lost your job, maybe your finances are a little bit in trouble, you just call on him. You know, the word says that we're to cast our cares upon him, for he said he careth for thee. And don't just cast your cares, you know, cast your cares upon him, for he said, I care for you. And just fall deeper in love with him. That's my message today. My message today was in Proverbs 18, verse 19. And I want to share this. Now, the King James Version, I like the King James Version. It says, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. You know, so use whatever the gift is that the Lord's put in your life. I want you to use it. Whatever that may be, if it may be in ministry, I want you to use it. You know, if you're called to be a governor, if you're called to be the president of the United States, if you're called to be a pastor, you become the greatest pastor America's ever had. Whatever it is, if you want to become a missionary, you know, be careful who you share it with, because there are a lot of people who are not going to understand you, you know. When Moses told me in Haiti he wanted to become the future president of Haiti, I didn't discourage Moses. And I was surrounded by poverty over there. I just said, Moses, you know, you're going to school here. They have a little school for you. You do everything you can to become the future president of Haiti. I want you to strive to become the next president of Haiti. And all of you that are listening, whatever it is that God's put on your heart, don't think about it. Don't procrastinate. Just do it. Just like the Korean veteran, we were doing something for him, and he didn't have to wait a year for it. It shouldn't happen. The L.A., that shouldn't be happening in L.A. You know, that we should be in there helping them. The government should be not just doing other things with the money, and I'm not speaking about the governor in a negative way, but, you know, we just all need to wake up and see what's important in life. And that's not things and stuff and, you know, mansions and jets. You know, if you get close enough to hear the heartbeat of the Father, you're going to hear his heartbeat, people. That's what he went to that cross, to shed his precious blood, that you and I might have that life, and that we may have that life and life more abundantly. That's what it's all about. Knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And when he tells you to do something, just do it. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Don't do it. Is it going to cost you? Yes. Yeah, but Jesus paid the ultimate cost, his life, that he shed his precious blood, that you and I may have that life and have it abundantly. Get closer to him, folks. We're in the end. We're in the end, you know. I'm not sharing that to be negative or critical, but we're in the end. It's madness out there. It's absolutely madness. People are just, they need to be full of Jesus, not full of hate and, you know, just, I see so much hate going on. I don't want any part of it, you know. I want the Lord to minister to people. You know, I want him to minister. I want Jesus to use you to go out and tell people about Jesus. Tell them who loves them. Tom, don't be afraid to write that letter. Just write that letter. Listen to the Lord's heart and put that all in writing from the heavens. Put it, whatever he put in your heart, just write that letter and send it out. If he gets offended, let the Lord deal with him, Tom. And some of you that are listening, you're stuck. Some of you, you're just plain stuck. Come on now. Get before the Lord. The greatest battles that can ever be won in our life is on our knees. And I'm encouraging you all, if you're fighting a battle, the Lord says the battle's not yours, it's his. You surrender it. You surrender that battle and get on your knees and pray, because the battle's not yours. It belongs to the Lord. You say, well, Brother Tom, you don't know what I'm going through. I may not know what you're going through, but Jesus does. Jesus does. Turn it all over to him, and I pray you'll never be the same. Trust in him with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. The word says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And he said, he shall direct your path. Let Jesus direct your path. Get closer to him. Fall deeper in love with him. You know, you receive not, the Bible said, because you what? You ask not. Go ahead. go boldly to the throne and say, Jesus, I need help. I need help. Be honest with him and share your heart with him. Share your heart with him and get closer to him. I pray that you'd never be the same, that the day would be a new dawn, a new day and a new beginning, that you would pick up the cross again and follow Jesus. He reminds us to carry our cross, what? Daily, not monthly, weekly, bi-monthly, yearly. It's a daily that we are to carry that cross. Hear his heart and do what he tells you to do. And I mean that. You'll never be the same. When I became a Christian, I used to be the quietest student in high school. Not anymore. I gave my life to Christ and I've never been the same. He's taken me halfway around the world and back and halfway around the world and back. And you never know what's in store when you serve Jesus. I tell you, just get to know him, fall deeper in love with him. And I pray you'll never be the same again. And that's my prayer for each and every one of you. God bless Israel. We pray for Israel, the apple of God's eye. And we bless Israel. We bless you today, where you are on the way where Jesus has taken you. May you never from this day forward be the same. May God bless you from the top of your head to the very soles of your feet. I pray God's richest blessings upon you. And that you would get intimate with Jesus, fall deeper in love with him. Draw closer to him, as this word says, I will draw closer to you. Well, until next week, this is Tom, and I pray God's richest blessings again for you. Also, Mark and Mary, I pray the best is yet to come. God bless you all. To next week, have a wonderful day, wonderful week. God richly, richly bless you all.
You've been listening to Encouraging One Another Ministries, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us next Thursday at the same time for Encouraging One Another broadcast.